Well, good morning, Emmanuel Baptist Church. May I say good morning, Emmanuel Baptist Church? It's great to be with you today on this Palm Sunday. This is kind of in my way. I'll just kind of do that. Boom. I like to have this connection between us because we're in a relationship, amen? And for me to be able to do what I do up here and for you to be able to get what you want to get out there, we have to break this barrier, right? So it's good to be here on Palm Sunday with you guys. Today is where we sing Hosanna in the highest to the Lord of Lords. Amen. For those who may not know what today is all about, today is when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, signifying and fulfilling the messianic prophecy that Jesus is the Messiah. So why is this important? Well, in Jewish customs, there was multiple people trying to be the Messiah, right? And the odds of somebody fulfilling the needs of being a Messiah was 1 in 1 billion. But Jesus fulfilled all of the prophecies. Jesus was the best candidate for Messiah. This story takes place in all 5 synoptic gospels. But today we're going to focus on the triumphal entry in the book of Luke. So if you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Luke 19. Luke 19. If you have it on your mobile devices, the Bible app, hashtag Bible app, if you want to tweet something today. Got you. Luke 19. And it simply says this, "And when he had said these things, he went ahead going up to Jerusalem. He drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olive. He sent 2 disciples, saying, 'Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're doing it, you shall say this: the Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent away found it just as he had told them." That was a surprise, right? "Just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, the owners of it said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. And as he was drawing near, already down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen before, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees and the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' And he answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.'" My favorite passage here in Luke, this snippet of Jesus' life, is found right here in the verse where the Pharisees ask Jesus to rebuke his disciples. And his response to them said, "No, because if they don't say it, the rocks will. The stones will cry out." Jesus was going to receive his praise regardless. Amen? Jesus' response was making reference to a passage in Habakkuk 2:11, where God was showing that he reigns over everything. So as I dove deeper into this passage, I couldn't help myself from thinking that Jesus' entry to Jerusalem, I have to get that word down, into Jerusalem wasn't just about fulfilling the messianic prophecies. That Jesus riding in, humbly in on a donkey, shows us that we Christians should worship him and how we should worship him. So today we're going to talk about worship. And I want to get real with you for a little bit. I'm not talking about just the worship of singing Hosanna in the highest, and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's easy to find in this section, and sometimes we miss it, and we have to focus. So before we start in the passage, we're going to go and we're going to break it down verse by verse. I want to make clear of what worship is. Worship is not about music. Worship is not about how the stage looks. The worship is not about the choir. The worship is not about the worship team. It's not about how we collectively feel. Matter of fact, it's not about you or me at all. Worship is our response to a relationship that we do not deserve. I'll say that one more time. Worship is our response to a relationship that we do not deserve. And oftentimes we forget that. We lose focus. So today I want to draw focus to this, and I want you to identify what type of worshiper you are. So let's get started. The first type of worshiper I will bring out from this passage is called the go-and-get worshiper. The go-and-get worshiper. Listen here to what the passage says. It says, when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olives, he sent two of the disciples saying, go into the village in front of you. We're entering it. You'll find a colt tied up on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks why you're untying it, you shall say, the Lord has need of it. All of us are called to be in this category. All of us as Christians should be in the go and get type of worshiper. Matter of fact, in Matthew 28, Jesus clearly gives instructions to go forth and make disciples, to go and get. I want you to notice, just as in Matthew 28, Jesus gives clear instructions to go to get. To go into the village in front of you, where entering you will find a colt tied up. God may be calling you to go a little bit deeper into a place that is foreign to you, and to bring back someone or something that God is going to use for his glory. God may be calling you to go just a little bit deeper for his glory, for his kingdom, to go and to get. How will you respond? The next is the give it all up worshiper. The give it all up worshiper. After Jesus tells his disciples to go, they obey and they saw their colt tied up as they entered the town. Just as Jesus had said, and the owner of the donkey asked, why are you untying my donkey? And they simply said, the Lord needs it. And the owner of the colt let it go. He gave it up. Can you imagine trying to creatively borrow stuff here in West Virginia? Like, usually that it doesn't happen, right? Matter of fact, to creatively borrow something here in West Virginia is like saying, Grover, I really like that Cadillac you got. The Lord needs it. You don't give it up? The Lord needs it. What is unique here is that is not that the donkey was where Jesus said the donkey was, also signifying how God reigns over everything. But the owner gave up the donkey just because they said the Lord needs it. This gives us a little insight to who the owner was. So let's be clear. When you have an animal, you usually use that to farm, to help you make money for your family. This was his livelihood, right? So when you have a donkey, usually strong, they're there for farming help. The owner willingly gave up his livelihood to two strangers who said that the Lord needs it. This leads us to understand that the owner of the animals had a relation, either had a relationship with Jesus Christ himself or was a follower of Christ. Because if by any other name, they would have came up and said, "Tyshawn needs your Cadillac, Grover. You going to give it up?" Of course not. But they said, "The Lord needs it. The Lord needs it." This shows to us that the owner of the donkey understood that he owns nothing. Everything that he has is the Lord's. And that makes it just a little bit easier to give it back to God. When he says the Lord needs it, I'm going to give it back to the person who gave it to me in the first place. God is Lord of everything. God may be calling you to give up something in your life to draw closer to him, knowing that nothing on this earth is ours. This building isn't ours. The seats that you're sitting in isn't yours. The shirts that's on your back isn't yours. The money that you have in your pocket isn't yours. And when the Lord says, "I need it," side note, the Lord doesn't need anything. But this shows his sovereignty to see where his people is. It makes it that much easier to give it up. The Lord needs it. How will you respond? Finally, we have the gathered worshipers. We see in the passage that it says, as he drew near, going down away from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they have seen. Side note again, this was the same area where they saw Jesus raise Lazarus up from the dead. So they saw the miraculousness of Jesus Christ. This guy was the Messiah. So upon entering, they were saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're doing right here, right now. We're singing Hosanna. When I say Hosanna, you say Hosanna. 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 Nah, Hosanna. 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 Because it's time for us to praise the true name of God. God calls his people to sing praises to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, and to recognize the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer, and who Jesus really is. That's the focus of the church. Or it should be. See, that's where we see the most separation and division in the church. We take our focus off of gathering together as the people of God to praise the name of God for saving us, for redeeming us, and we make it about personal cultural preferences. See, the thing is, a lot of Christians want to identify themselves in this category. We come to church, we praise God, but they're not living the life. They call themselves worshipers, but in reality, they're not worshiping God. They're worshiping things that represent God. So what if I told you that you did not have to be in a church to praise the name of God? What if I told you that you didn't have to look a certain way, dress a certain way, act a certain way? Matter of fact, the people who was drawn to Jerusalem was there because of a holy festival. Check this out. The number one reason why thousands of people came to one place, gathered in one place, was their religion. To praise God, from whom all blessings flow. God calls his people to gather and worship, to make beautiful multicultural, multi-generational, multi-ethnic churches, and for that church to resemble the bride of Christ. God calls us to eliminate the distractions. It's about focus. It's about focus. God calls us to eliminate the distractions, to not focus on the things that separates us, but to focus on the one thing that brings us together. That one thing is God. How will you respond? In closing, I want you to listen to me. God is calling you to do amazing things for his kingdom and for his glories. Sometimes we're asked to go a little bit deeper or to give it all up. Sometimes we're called to set aside our differences and to be unified for one cause. Whatever it is, I want you to know that God loves you for who you are. No matter where you come from, what you did, what you're doing, or what you will do, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus wants to have a relationship with you, individual you. He calls you out. You are selected. You are the chosen. You are the elect. How would you respond? Because if you don't, the rocks will. Pray with me. God, you know the heart of this congregation. You know the hurt found in the frustration. And you know the potential joy of knowing and loving the one that you have sent down for us. Lord, we ask that you soften the hearts and you heal the hurts and you bring forth the joy today. As it is in your name that we respond to your message, Hosanna in the highest. And it's those things that we pray in your name. Amen.